The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us and we shall be satisfied. Heal us and we shall be whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Good morning, guys. You want to gather around, so I'll sit there, and you can listen to me going this way. You want to come this way? Come around? Are you comfortable there? You want to come over here? You want to come and sit down here? Well, good morning, all. Here we are again. It is a beautiful day outside. But, you know, sometimes at night, do you ever think about ghosts?
Ghosts?
Oh, no! Oh, no! After you watch.
Well, no, it's all right. I just thought you were the missus.
Oh, I know. It's scary, right? You know? Well, what about ghosts are so scary?
They normally try to possess people.
They try.
Oh, that would be... That is a scary thing to think about. You can't see them. You can just eat a ghost? So we've heard all these stories of ghosts. Well, what if Jesus came and stand among us? Would he look like a ghost?
Of course.
He would? Why? Why do you think? Because he was risen, so he looks kind of like a ghost. Maybe. We don't know. Yeah, they thought it was a ghost. But we know that Jesus was real, right?
Mm-hmm. They really had those nails
on. Yeah, what happens with a ghost? Can you put your hand through them? Yeah. Sometimes you can with ghosts. Right. That's right.
If the ghost wants to kill you, then they probably can hold
things. Well... Well, your tiger will protect you, right? So today, you're going to hear about why Jesus was not a ghost and how he wasn't. Because... Oh, yeah. Save that for the conversation upstairs. That's right. He had holes in his hands, too. Today, you'll hear something else that he did that shows he wasn't a ghost. So, who would like to take the Bible with them? This time. All right. Next time.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Acts. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they made the prisoners, Peter and John, stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
reading from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. In a Charlie Brown Christmas, Shermie gets his costume and his role, and he says, Every Christmas it's the same. I always end up playing a shepherd. Although very much chagrined, Shermie still accepts his role. Pigpen, the dirty kid, always covered in a cloud of dust and dirt, resigns himself with dignity to his role as the innkeeper in Bethlehem, saying, "Despite my outward appearance, I will try and run a neat inn." But perhaps Pigpen would be better suited for the shepherd part. Perhaps he could join Shermie among them. He could definitely be a believable shepherd. It was not uncommon for some people sometimes to insult a person by calling that one a shepherd. Thought to be unwashed and dirty people, the shepherds of Jesus' time remained in the fields with the sheep while pasturing them. And yet, for many of us modern folk, the idea of shepherds and goat herds and all things pastoral seems rather romantic, doesn't it? But the reality is so much more real. And it is that sort of ironic reality that breaks apart our pride and our denial of our own dirtiness in a world of sin that God brings us in Christ Jesus. So when we hear about David, the shepherd, becoming king over Israel, or the angels proclaiming the coming of God on earth first to shepherds, or that our Lord and Savior compares himself to that of a lowly shepherd, the glaring irony that once was widespread may go over our heads. To think that God in the flesh would relate himself to dirty peasants. It's extremely ironic to think that God might be gracious and merciful to we dirty people. Is ironic. Of course, however, we could argue that Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He speaks of shepherds as noble and their profession more noble than perhaps even the shepherds themselves did and do think. But it is probably not on account of Jesus' cleanness, but in spite of this world's disposition toward unwashed, lowly people, that he claims to be one of them. Because in this allegory, Jesus is not rating bad shepherds and good shepherds, or sheep and goats, or clean and unclean people, or believer and non-believer. Instead, this story is about us, our world, and Jesus' purpose by coming into this world. There will be one flock and one shepherd. For generations, the church has thought itself as the flock, and Christ its head. We still do that. If Christ is the shepherd, we must be the flock since we know him and we listen to his voice. We hope. Sometimes we aren't so good at hearing his voice. Sometimes we feel like we are the only sheep in the flock. Sometimes we feel like we aren't part of the flock. Our hopes may be hard to maintain when we see the world that God has created and the ways we are less a flock than individual sheep. It echoes the passage from the Old Testament, "For we like sheep have gone astray, everyone to their own way." Pardon the rhyme. Jesus, in laying down his life for us, gathered us together in unity and peace. No one has greater love than this, than to lay one's life down for one's friends, he says elsewhere in this gospel. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The same gospel tells us that. It is not just for some people or some Christians that Jesus lays down his life, but for the world. Think about that. The world. A plurality of ideas and cultures and politics, and yet we are one world of people in God's eyes. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all creatures of the one Creator. We hope. It takes very little effort to find stark differences with others in this day and age. Political parties do the most damage, encouraging us to demonize a person for ideologies that have backstories and experiences tied to them. The rhetoric and the propaganda are everywhere for us to take in. Algorithms prevent us from seeing other viewpoints, limiting our perspective to the world one article that we read once online, that depiction only. We align ourselves with only some news agencies. The truth is that we have every convenience and reason not to trust another person or their ideas, or other ideas that we have not heard before, or another source that might pop the bubbles we live in. We could continue in bliss until the end of our lives in this world, believing that it will end in a big ha-ha to our political opponents. Or even worse, that the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. Or so the propagandists would like us to hope. But there is no real hope in that. That's fake hope. Because the world would like us to believe that everyone else except us is a sinner. Because the world in sin would have us believe only convenient truths that comfort us only for a time. Because sin would have us live without growth and without others, only fear, loneliness, and distrust. The truth that Christ makes us one is threatened at every turn. And our sins from distrust scatter us. We are broken apart. It has always been fake news to believe that our politics are God's. God is not a party member, but the founder and reformer of all that is. Besides, political alignments and the convenient ideas that come with them are like the hired hands who flee at the sign of danger. The hired hand allows the sheep to be broken up and devoured. Though with little effort it takes for us to pursue division and find fault with one another. Though with little effort it takes for ideas to hold sway over us, it takes even less effort for God's word to dismantle the notions sin would have us believe are truth. He enters into our dirtiness. The truth that Christ comes with is inconvenient for sin, but with little effort it sticks. There will be one flock, one shepherd. The flock Jesus speaks of is not the fold. The fold is the pen which the sheep are led into at night. It keeps them safe. But we may realize too late sometimes that we have created the folds we are part of. These places that lure us into false senses of security and safety. And there is one way in and out, the gate, where the shepherd lies throughout the night. Not many verses before the gospel we hear today, Jesus tells us that he is the gate as well as the good shepherd. A shepherd alone stands between the wolves and the sheep. The good shepherd stays and even gives his life so that the wolves won't find the way into the fold convenient. It is doubtful that the hired hand of this scripture would lay there, be the gate. Lest we might think our politics would defend us from sin, we are reminded that it is Jesus alone, our good shepherd, that stands between us and sin. And there's more. Jesus says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. It would be all too convenient for sin to make us believe that the one flock are the select few who would recognize Christ's voice. It would be all too convenient for sin to make us hear Christ's promise to gather us into one as a promise made only to individuals and not to the world. A world, one in Christ, one in creation, bound together if only by the power of God in love and in faith. Faith and trust freely given to overcome the distrust that is thrust upon us and even encouraged. Love freely given to secure us in the bonds of peace. So we hope. God comes to us in irony. Jesus is like a shepherd, likely to be shrouded in a cloud of dust. Luckily for us, despite the dirt that covers us, we are given a role to play that is not so appropriate. Despite our sin of pride, God works his irony, and our community in Christ is not made of like-minded sheep. Out of all the places we would like to meet others like ourselves, out of all the places we turn to feel comforted by similarity and false security, God calls us into a fold that is as diverse as the world he created, and it is secure. There is a place of trust and love for all of us. Out of all the places that sin holds us captive, we are led by the Good Shepherd into a place that he alone secures. Sin still tries to break us apart, but it can only try. Christ calls all to himself, and the flock will be one. Amen.